Upon hearing the news of David Bowie's passing at the age of 69, we at the Brofisticate were deeply saddened. The following is our interview with the biggest David Bowie fan we know, Desiree Forbes.
Hey.
Hey, Desiree. How are you?
I have been so sad all day. Just shocked. Completely shocked.
How did you first hear about David Bowie's passing?
I got a text message from a guy that I'm acquaintances with that I haven't spoken to in a long time, and it said, "I'm so sorry, I hope you're doing okay," and I was like, "What? What is he talking about?" And then I got on Facebook and heard news, and I've just been so heavy-hearted about it all.
Tell us about seeing the David Bowie exhibit at the Museum of Contemporary Art in Chicago.
I was really determined to go and see something that had to do with Bowie, because I've been waiting and waiting and waiting to see him in concert, and unfortunately that's not going to happen. So I thought, this is the closest to Bowie that I can get right now. So I heard about it in London, and when I heard that it was coming to Chicago, I jumped at the chance to go. And it was around my birthday last year. And drove up to Chicago and was really blown away by the exhibit. It was everything from each decade of his life, clothes, artifacts, his cocaine spoon, just really cool stuff. And you wore headphones and you got a chance to listen to his music and listen to him talk, and it kind of went along with each section where you were in the museum, and got to see all of his fashionable outfits, and it was just amazing. It was incredible. I was emotional and joyous, and it was something I'll never forget. It was very well done, and I wanted to come back. I'm waiting for it to come back.
How long have you been a fan of David Bowie?
I have been a fan my entire life. And it's funny because a few weeks ago my mom said, "It's weird that you're a David Bowie fan because that's all I listened to when you were in my stomach." And I thought, you're just telling me this now after, you know, 35 years of being a Bowie fan. You're telling me that when I was in your stomach and you were pregnant with me, it was basically playing on repeat. So I think that has something to do with it, you know. Little Dez was rocking out to Bowie in the womb. And I remember the two things that really, well, there were three things that really got me on the Bowie train, and that was the China Girl video, the Ashes to Ashes video, and of course Labyrinth. And saw those things around the same time, and it just blew my mind. I thought, you know, this guy is a magician. He's incredible. He's, you know, just an artist. And to me, he was like magic. And I just wanted to know everything about him, and I was just mystified by him.
Favorite album and favorite song?
Oh, gosh. That is really tough. I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that. I have to say Ziggy Stardust. There's just a plethora of amazing songs on that album. Moon Age Daydream, 5 Years, Starman, Getting Easy. That whole album, just from start to finish, is just it really is a work of art. And I love, you know, the soulful, funky Bowie of his Thin White Duke days on Station to Station. And I thought that that was kind of an interesting twist that he took, getting really soulful and funky. And, you know, that's the incredible thing about him, is that he was always morphing into, you know, from one thing to another. Reinventing himself constantly, And that always appealed to me, and did it so well, and did it with such grace and such genius, in my opinion. You know, and of course, Labyrinth and the soundtrack to Labyrinth. and I even loved the stuff that he did with Trent Reznor and the industrial electronic work on Little Wonder, on Earth, the Earthling album. Little Wonder was one of the songs that I loved, and of course, Unafraid of Americans. I don't know, I could go on and on. It's just, he has such a vast, he's done so much. It's hard to even pinpoint it to one thing.
Speaking to that, the New York Times is calling him a chameleon in music, art, and fashion. What are your thoughts upon that moniker?
I think it's accurate. I think that, you know, he was the epitome of androgyny and such a fashion icon. And I know that I like to, you know, play David Bowie and do the wig, the red wig, and the lightning bolt, and the spandex, and I mean, just, he was a beautiful man, and everything he wore it so well, and he could own it, and, you know, from something that was really chic and simple and tailored to something that is eccentric and form-fitting and tight. I mean, he could do it all. He was a fashion inspiration for so many people.
For those of our listeners who are less familiar with David Bowie, what would you recommend would be a good primer to get started becoming a fan?
I guess if you're first getting into David Bowie, I would recommend maybe hearing the greatest hits, just to kind of get a taste of everything that was kind of popular with each of his records. Of course, I always recommend watching Labyrinth, because that was something that really got me into him, and watching a ton of music videos. Just expose yourself to anything you can relating to Bowie, and I'm sure that you'll fall in love.
Speaking of his greatest hits, a lot of those were in the early 80s, and that's mostly what people who are not big fans of his remember. But as I recall, he kind of renounced that aspect of his life as not being very artful. You know anything about that, or care to speak to it at all?
I mean, I personally hold a really special place in my heart for his stuff in the 80s, just because I was a child of the 80s, and I'm a fan of 80s pop culture in general. And perhaps he thinks that, you know, maybe he thought that there wasn't enough depth to it. But there is a place and a time for that kind of stuff that's just fun, that you can dance to. And I mean, he did Ashes to Ashes and China Girl. I mean, just the music, from the music videos to the songs and the beat that you can kind of dance to. And I loved that era of Bowie. I think that that is a starting point for people who want to get into him. And then you can really dig deep into his more artistic albums, but there's a place for those albums as well.
Well, that's good to know. That means I can listen to them without guilt now.
Yeah, definitely. Most definitely. There is no guilt with anything that he's done.
I've got a story I want to relate to you about. It's secondhand, but I've always found it just fascinating, and it seems appropriate to tell you about it now. But I used to have a good friend of mine named Frank, and he worked in New York, and he just happened in an elevator that had David Bowie and his wife, and mm-hmm. there he was for several floors with David Bowie, and he was so shocked and starstruck that he didn't do anything for the longest time. And then before he got to the top of the building and had to get out, he turned to him and said, I'm the biggest fan of your work, and I just love everything you've done, and I just feel compelled to tell you that. And David Bowie was like, oh, thanks very much. And then there's nothing but silence for a little while. And then finally his wife turned to my friend Frank and said, I'm Iman. And Frank looked back to her and said, I'm Frank. And then they all three laughed. And then he got off at the at his stop.
I think that's the one thing that really hurts the most in all of this is that I will never get a chance to meet him. I will never get a chance to see him perform. And I saw him back probably about 15 years ago. And it was at Jones Beach in New York, and it was a festival of sorts. And he had a short set, and Busta Rhymes was before him. And I was like, you know, I just want to get to David Bowie. I don't care about anybody else. And I was at the very, very, very top, the last possible row that you could be on. And, I mean, I could hardly see him. And the guy next to me had binoculars, and I asked him if I could borrow them, and he very hesitantly gave them to me. And then I didn't want to give them back, and he was getting very frustrated with me because I just wanted to keep them so I could watch David Bowie. But there was lightning, and they had to stop the show after a couple of songs. So in my mind, I did not really see David Bowie. And I had dreams of going on tour and following him around, and I thought maybe that would be a possibility with this new album that just came out.
Have you heard it?
You know, I was really hesitant to listen to it, and I don't know what that hesitation was about. It's kind of weird that this has happened, because something in me was really nervous to listen to this album, and I didn't know anything about it. So no, I haven't listened to it yet, and you know, now I have a good reason to, but I had something holding me back from listening to this album, and usually I jump at the chance to listen to a Bowie album, so
yeah,
I don't know, maybe I'm intuitive and, you know, felt something, I don't know, but yeah, I'm really sad that I won't have that opportunity.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom.
Do you have any parting words for David or for his fans that you'd like to put out there?
I just want to thank him for being an evolving piece of art in my mind. Just a creative genius, and for giving me so much happiness in my life, throughout my life, and just for showing his soul to us and all these different sides of himself. I'm really appreciative that he's the type of artist that was able to express that with the world. And I'm just going to miss him, and, you know, let's keep his memory alive and keep rocking and rolling, because that's what he would have wanted.
We've been talking to the biggest David Bowie fan we know, Desiree Fors. We appreciate all that you've had to impart regarding David Bowie and his influence on you and the world.
I'm Steel Trap, and this has been a podcast for thebrofisticate.com, your niche without quiche.